Welcome to Simple Vino.
Hey!
Hey! Here are Travis and Taylor, and
I miss Sean.
Ooh, yeah, the not Sean's tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're the not Sean's.
We're doing a little later, and Sean, I guess, cares about his life and his job and his rest and his sleep. So homeboy had to take a tinkle and like snuggle up under the covers and get real snuggly and I guess be respectful to his career and employment.
Homeboy had to take a tinkle. That's what we're going with.
He's not far off, and I love Sean. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, he probably had a diddle a little bit.
Yep.
I would imagine
a piddle.
Piddle, piddle, diddle?
Mm-hmm.
I imagine at some point we're going to be looking up at the same sky, American Tail style.
Oh, yeah. He's five-o.
Well, not tonight. His eyes are closed, and he's in the arms of Morpheus.
Actually.
So, yeah, this podcast might be a little bit of gibberish because we've had some wine
already. Yeah.
Also, if you're listening to you, fuck you, Sean. Go ahead. Movereviews.us.
These are the
fuck
fun.
You, Sean.
These are the fun ones.
Yeah.
These are the good ones.
I'm not even that bad.
These are the ones that'll bring
as
us.
As Taylor.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, can I not party and have a good time? Todd, thank you for having me back.
Oh, yeah. Right. It's good to have you back. So we're going to talk about The Mandalorian, Chapter 4.
Mm-hmm.
And our thoughts on that. And, yeah, we're going to lay the groundwork for next week where we'll be watching a Christmas movie. Because this is that time of year.
And that gets me... I'm starting to get swelled up.
Taylor's because jazzed.
Because we all know my favorite Christmas movie, which has been said multiple times mm-hmm. probably, but Die Hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that swells me up.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Makes him feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Mandalorian, what are our thoughts? We'll start with Travi.
Oh, my God. I didn't think you were going to say me. We never start with me.
But you're so cute, though.
Well, now that's been recorded, I can listen to that on a loop. I thought it was lovely. It followed the old, like, the Western trope. There was a lot of, they had the whole, you know, the mock-up or the movie montage where they were like, hey, let's show us train these dudes up mm-hmm. and to fight, you know, their oppressors. Even after, and I read something about how they were like, Gina Carano was saying something like, I've seen one of these AT-STs or walkers take out a whole battalion of guys. And the Mandalorian's like, what if we teach these guys with sticks how to fight, though?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it worked for the Ewoks. They're
like, okay, well, all right. This sounds good. And I guess it was directed by Bryce Dallas Howard.
It was, mm-hmm. yeah.
Daughter
and,
of Ron.
Yeah, and she, I guess, used some of her time on the Jurassic World movies to make the Imperial Walker kind of T-Rex-like. You know, doing the foreboding, you know, showing up with red eyes, you know, standing up as if it were, you know, asleep, and then, you know, popped up, and they're like, oh, shit.
It seemed
and
very
running
alive.
From it, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then popping out of the woodwork, or, you know, the, again, Jurassic Park, the whole, the water, the thuming or whatever, or bubbling or mm-hmm. waving out.
Impact
whatever
tremor.
Thank you, impact tremor. As it was coming closer and then seeing it, it was really impactful having it have red eyes and then like surfing, like going, coming through the trees. I was like, that's pretty cool. That's a cool visual.
Yeah.
But it was a pretty standard kind of Western mm-hmm.
very
flair.
Much so.
I like the actress that played Omera, like the hot widow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And her daughter, Witka. I don't remember.
Winta. Cause it seemed like a play on winter, but
yeah. Winta.
Mm-hmm.
But I think those were, well, wait, I was going to say those were the only named people, but the two like goobers that came to,
to get,
his help, were the first ones. I did not think, I thought that Gina Carano did a pretty good job acting, and I've seen her act before, and I was like,
Fast and Furious, woof woof.
Haywire.
Yeah, well, touche.
However, I thought, like, the one that didn't make the most sense to me was, like, the waitress in the, like, whatever weird cantina they were in. I was like, could you deliver your lines in a different way?
And she definitely didn't hold true to her word because, quote unquote, Baby Yoda, she didn't watch the kid at all.
Yeah.
Right? It was like, I mean, figure it out.
And then the most memeable thing this week is replaced Kermit sipping tea with Baby Yoda sipping bone broth.
Oh, yeah.
It's none of my business.
I've seen a bunch of them's.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I wish Sean was here because...
Fuck him.
I will probably... It was, to me, the filler episode.
Yeah.
Again, said it 1,000 times. Great cinematic thing. Like, I love it. The action's great. You know, the visuals are great. But I'm like, okay. So, was this episode trying to make the Mandalorian the good guy? Mm-hmm. Like, are we trying to make him like more real, more human? Like, yes. Oh, this guy is like, he's good. Mm-hmm. He's a good guy, even though he's captured and killed thousands of people. No, he has a heart. And at the same time, it's like, hey, like, let's just throw this episode in here where it's like, once again, the tracker is involved. I'm like, okay, is anybody gonna look in that goddamn little bug? It was like, or that buggy. It's like, is there a tracker in there?
Yeah.
It's like, why is the tracker still even involved here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is this fucking kid lowjacked in the ear?
Exactly. Like, what's up? Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Where is it?
We were talking about lowjacked last week. I was like, what the hell is happening? Yeah. So I wish Sean was here because I mean that might be a previous episode. It was like that I missed, but I was like, man, like. I felt like this is great, great visuals, great thing, but this felt very much like a filler episode. It's like, well, very Western-esque, very like, hey, the Mandalorian might be quote unquote human after all. He has a heart. And guess what? You know, Baby Yoda is still being searched after. It's like, so all we really did was allow people farm. It's like, so these people can farm for the rest of their lives. Cool.
Yeah.
And I was like, great.
Go ahead, Todd. I was going to say, they did a few things this episode.
The vibe I got immediately was Magnificent Seven, but also Yojimbo, where it's like, in those stories, like, there's the badass, like, outlaws.
Seven Samurai.
And, yeah, not Yojimbo. Where the villagers come to them.
I've not watched either one of those. I just know what you're talking about.
I've seen both. It's like, I don't know why I'm thinking the Kira Kurosawa. Yeah. But it's like, where the villagers come to them. Honestly, Three Amigos is based on the same story. Where it's like, they come to them and it's like, we have money, please help us. You know, because Magnificent Seven.
Yeah, they even said, not enough.
It's Eli Wallach, where it's like, Eli Wallach is going to destroy this town, this village of Mexicans. It's like, we need your help. So they go to Yul Brynner, Steve McQueen, James Garner, all these badass outlaws, Charles Bronson. It's like, you guys have to help us. And then, you know, it's just the exact same story. With like they go in there and they wrestle. No, this is too much. You're asking us to defend you against this powerful outlaw. We can't do it. But then it's like, well, we'll train the villagers. We'll teach them how to defend themselves and yada, yada. It's Three Amigos. Like, we can sew.
Yeah,
you know, it's like they learn how to defend themselves and set traps. Yeah. I mean, literally, Three Amigos were the guys that fall into the pit. You know, where they dig the sand trap or whatever. That's the walker. There was also a little bit of Star Trek: The Next Generation, where it's like the away team beams down on some random planet. There's always like the plucky widow. Does she fall in love with Riker? Does she fall in love with Picard? Maybe even Data.
Never Geordi.
Geordi is always left out. But it's like, who?
Geordi cannot crush Poon to save his life.
Wait, Geordi?
Geordi LaForge.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
it's because
like
he's wearing
Lino. It.
But whenever you see like the plucky, like, you know, earthy woman down on the planet, who is she going to fall in love with? It's like, my money's usually on Riker, even though I always thought Riker kind of sucked as a character. You know, he was kind of a wiener, but
I like the way he sat in chairs.
Mm-hmm. And he had a great, and then I think it was Picard that pulled the uniform down just right. The Picard maneuver. But anyway, there was a real Star Trek overtone of that when the young widow shows up and she's, you know, she's noble and a great person. It's like, yeah, she's going to be the love interest. These people are all coming back one way or the other. And, you know, Yoda's going to come back to those kids. It's too perfect. It's too, it fits too conveniently.
I think that was my annoyance. I mean, again, great visual. I love the episode. I mean, I woke up early to watch the episode, but
yeah.
I was like, man, is this the filler episode? I was like, I don't know if I like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Yoda didn't eat that fucking frog. I was like, swallow, you fucking puss.
And they established, you know, Gina Carano as like their Ronin, basically, where it's like their masterless samurai who kind of walk the earth or whatever, you know, in a way of speaking. And it's like they don't serve anybody, so they're kind of directionless warriors.
You're right.
And so basically in the plot of the earlier movies, like Seven Samurai, Magnificent Seven, it's like the villagers, the helpless people give them a direction. They give them the moral compass where it's like that's how you because it's the same idea of like, oh, are they trying to make, you know, Steve McQueen into a good guy now because he's supposed to be this badass gunfighter? Well, yeah. It's like that's the helpless, like, oh, we don't have enough money to pay you. It's like that's how they show like, oh, no, he's really a good guy.
Our reward is that justice has been done.
Yeah.
So my dad and I were talking about it afterwards and that we did the Three Amigos parallel. Again, because I've not seen Magnificent Seven or Seven Samurai.
Oh, you gotta see both. They're both so good.
I started to watch the remake of Seven Samurai. I stopped.
Tom Cruise?
Chris Pratt.
Last
Samurai. And John Denver. And by John Denver, I mean Denzel Washington.
That
what in the hell?
Has to be the first time on this planet that those two have ever been so confused.
What is happening?
No one has ever on Earth confuse those two for each other.
I kind of see it.
I was
going to
say
damn.
Denzel, but it came out Denver, and I've been thinking about John Denver and the Muppets A Christmas Together.
That is a fact.
I've been listening
That's why Travis is a psychopath.
Should we go 8 seconds?
No. Shwee? Did you say shwee?
Wait, 8 seconds?
If you want to sing Kermit.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, God damn it.
I don't know how these things work.
But anyway, you never see anybody. It's like, who was the guy that did all the specials with the Muppet? Denzel Washington? No, wait. Sorry. It's John Denver.
Excuse me. I would watch the fuck out of that.
Man, that's actually pretty true, though.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
And today, I would like Garth Brooks and the Muppets on Christmas Together.
That's logical, I think. That makes sense.
He's tired of the Sesame Street.
I think Michael Bublé would be a very natural.
Okay, I'm not going to fucking watch that, Todd. You're not going to get my $14 in a movie theater that way.
You're beautiful. Anyway.
That's not Bublé. That's David Gray.
That's not David Gray.
No, it's that one fella.
It's the British guy.
Jeremiah Crawford.
Who? That's Laura the Dance Guy, isn't it?
I don't know.
His legs move about.
Daniel Powder. That's not him either.
Susan Powder. His legs move about as if independent from his body.
Who did that? Natalie Imbruglia.
Michael Flatley.
You know, it was Jason
Derulo.
Jumbe.
That's a Hakuna Matata song.
Yeah.
If you wonder when the wine hit us, it's right now.
Travis, hold on, man. It starts with a J, right? He's going to... This is a Google. Actually... Why he Googles, we should have sponsorship here.
Yeah, MeUndies.com.
MeUndies. Hey, guys, if you want to get some MeUndies, about $17.99 a month.
Taylor's an extra small.
Yeah. Extra small only in the crotch. Wait a minute. Wait, strike that. Reverse it. Yeah, it's just a simple monthly subscription. Any season, any kind of style you want. They have member-exclusive undies. Just check into them. You know, it's like, hey, you know, delivered straight to your door every month, about $17. Don't worry about it. Like, you tired of washing your undies? Just have them send them to you.
And who isn't tired of that?
Oh, I got it.
No. What does the first letter of his name start with?
J.
Okay, second letter.
M.
Wait. Wait, Travis.
J-M?
Travis, wait.
Is he
Jason Mraz.
Oh, that is false.
Okay, nope, it's JB.
So he's an
Apache? Oh, James Blunt.
There you go.
Okay, that's okay.
That
song's in my head. Okay, so Mandalorian.
Yeah. So, long story short, there's only 8 episodes, right?
Yep.
And we are halfway through?
Yep.
I'm concerned. I hope things get deeper.
Yeah.
I feel like this one was just a filler episode. Well, but okay. I mean, again, so, I still loved it because this shit just blows my mind. Like, I still love the visual effects. Also, I might have said it last week drunkenly. Does Jon Favreau just like putting his name on everything? Like, in his credits? It's like, you know, director, Travis is, he's blacking out. It's like Bryce Dallas Howard. Mm-hmm. It's like written by Jon Favreau, produced by Jon Favreau. Mm-hmm. It's like produced by Jon Favreau. And
Dave Filoni
is like,
up in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, John, man, like, I get it, dude. But it's like, I mean, it's a small role, but like, you don't have to put your name on everything.
So we did have a couple things happen this episode. One, he explained the whole mask thing.
Oh, that was
in he gave some, we had a lore drop, as we call it. And that's that, you know, he can't take off his mask, and if anybody sees it,
Jesus. Did you, Travis?
All I did.
Guys, I miss Sean because Sean keeps us together. Travis is exposing nudity to me. And it's like, this is rude.
You know, I'm just getting it air down there.
I miss Sean. You know, whenever the Beatles were having trouble like making music in the studio, they brought in Billy Preston to play the organ on like Get Back and Let It Be and stuff. Just to help keep them in line. Sean is our Billy Preston. He's not John Paul George Ringo, but he's like the guy they bring in. It's like, can we get somebody in here?
He's like, guys, you know, this is like an actual series.
You're saying that if I get overheated, I shouldn't expose myself to Taylor.
You do what your heart tells
Look,
you.
Look, man, I'm not going to say no. What I'm saying is like, whatever makes you comfortable, mm-hmm. but I just got to get used to it real quick.
This podcast is a journey, and I want you to go where it takes you.
Well, I just, you know, I shape it sometimes, and I just want to say, you know, I want Tay's validation for my pube garden.
Hmm. Okay.
Anyway, so we had a lore drop with the whole not being able to take off your like the Mandalorian helmet. However,
your pube garden?
The fuck?
Sadly, I kind of got that.
Joe Dirt said, "Life's a pube garden. Dig it."
If that's not
dig it, you must.
If that's not a metal band,
but okay, so he Mandalorian can't take off his mask, right? Otherwise, he can't call himself a Mandalorian anymore. Then he takes it the fuck off to watch children play.
Yeah,
and he first of all, goddamn pedophile. Mm-hmm. Second of all, do they not see him? He's got the door all the way open.
Yeah, you say, wait a minute, that's a guy from Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. season 4.
And second of all, they show at the end, Taylor's gone. We've Taylor's gone. Taylor. Second of all, at the end of the episode, they do show that other people apparently have fobs. And yeah, we don't understand how this fucking low-jack GPS works. But that he had intended, you know, last episode, he was like, I'm going to do the right thing. This episode, he's going to take... or, you know, they were going to hide out for a few months. They make it a couple weeks, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
And that then it shows that somebody is still after the kid, which is either, it feels like capture or kill, but like that, the IG-88, you know, assassin droid in the first one could be just fucking kill.
Yeah.
So he finds out, he's like, oh, shit, whatever it is, like, it's got range, like, I'm going to have to run farther.
Yeah.
So he thinks he's safe, he thinks he can chill. And maybe crush some, you know, native puss, but, you know, you're going to have to bounce. And
I guess technically fake-ass Billy D could have placed one in the Mandalorian ship. So maybe wherever he goes, it's like, it is, like, now he's being tracked.
Oh, that's
so, true. So now the Mandalorian's being tracked, mm-hmm. but and whatever.
I need to know what a fob is, what a stack is. I need to know all these
things. He needs a terminology. My thought also would be that who says that Werner Herzog is the only person looking for Baby Yoda? It's yeah. like, who's to say this guild or commissioner, whatever, is the only one? It's like, you think about mafia families, there's not just one.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, there has to be other criminal syndicates or unsavory people who are looking
Actually,
for
him. Actually, the last episode that they had, good old Carl Weathers said that, you know, everybody had fobs, and as he tried to leave... They were all activated. Yeah. I don't know how it...
Very
they,
John Wick like.
Yeah, I don't know how it all activated, that, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. as soon as he left that location with the kid.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I would like some people to get fucking named. good old Cara Dune, she spent weeks with the Mandalorian guy.
Yeah.
And they've kind of just been calling him Mando or the Mandalorian. Also, the fucking kid, you would think if people spent weeks with a kid, like, they would call him something, unless it's just the kid and the Mando.
Yeah, good-looking movie. I mean, good-looking story. Again, very cinematic, very well done, great special effects, great music. You know, I like the idea that they kind of anthropomorphize the walker and give it, like, almost like a like an animal. Like you said, like a T-Rex, where it's like it's... They make it, like, very tentative to step into the trap.
Yeah, they didn't show any of the pilots of it at all.
No. And they give it the T-Rex,
Yeah, they didn't do that at all.
It reminded me of the second Jurassic Park, where they show, like, you don't see the T-Rex, but you see the trees swaying, you know, kind of thing. They add the red eyes, which kind of give it a little more, but...
Yeah.
So we did enhance the plot. At least twice that I know of, we had... they gave a lore drop about the helmet, about, you know, how, why, and how we can't see his face. I still think we might, because I think there's, like, set pictures where it shows Homeboy's actual face.
You guys at home drink every time Travis says lore drop.
Lore drop? It's a... Well, lore drop. Cool. Quit dropping your pants, man.
Or every time he says Boba Fett.
Boba Fett. Hey, here's a quick thing. Quit looking.
Are you shaving your thighs? Because they look milky. No, you are not shaving your thighs. I'm just checking.
It's just the tops that are a little bare.
And it's a shame.
The sides are real thick.
It's a shame you guys can't see this at home. You know, it's a shame this isn't visual, where you guys are snuggled up next to a roaring fire and you can watch Travis pull his shorts down.
The sides of my thighs, if I were to assign a color to them, if you would look up the album cover to Edgar Winter that only come out at night.
The fuck?
The picture of his skin is around the same color as my thighs. So, Mandalorian can't wear the helmet, and apparently there's still people after the kid.
Lore drop.
Fob. Bunch of fobaholics.
Yeah, it always comes down to fob.
And I'm really hoping that what I'm anticipating throughout this series is that our homeboy, the Mando, makes a whole bunch of friends and then needs to gather them all back together, episode 8, and is like, guys, we're a crew now. We're a family. He needs extra help to either get the little baby Yoda back, and he's like, I should get Cara Dune. And then fucking alcoholic Nick Nolte and whoever else it is.
Let the record show he said Nook Nolte.
Nick Nolte?
I heard Nook. I heard the Nook Nolte.
No, it was something.
Well, I have spoken.
I mean, I think we've already, the previous podcast that has already been approved for season 2, they know what's going to happen. I think you're going to see this series is not, oh, Jesus. Like, this series is not going to end. And it's going to be a big thing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's, you know, it's going to be a slow roll. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they're bringing people in to Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And they're going to, like, I mean, obviously it got me to go into it.
Yeah.
They're bringing people into Disney Plus. They're bringing people into Star Wars. And they're just creating a fucking empire again, which, unfortunately.
Creating an empire, Taylor. Jesus. You choose your words, man.
Yeah. Lore drop.
I'm sorry. kind of chubbing up here. It's like, but like, they're creating another empire. It's like, hey, we're about to do another, here we go, another movie, another series. So it's ingenious, and we're all going to wait for it anyway. Yeah. So
what I was really hoping for is, and I just read this today, is that they were going to do a tie-in with the last movie. Was it The Rise of Skywalker?
Yeah.
With Mandalorian, and I was like, oh shit, they're gonna, you know, have the last episode of Mandalorian take place before. And I was really hoping that a cast member or something that they were gonna show was from the Mandalorian was then gonna show up in the last movie. But what they really meant was in the, you know, 7th episode, I think they're gonna show a special little trailer or sneak peek for the movie,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
1 week before,
yeah. yeah. Drink your Ovaltine.
Yep. I was really hoping that there were... I mean, if little baby Yoda's only 50 at the end of, you know, Return of the Jedi, all that, which means he'll be around 80 if he decides to show up, if he's alive, The problem with that is that, you know, if they put him in the third, you know, Rise of Skywalker movie, it doesn't matter what they do in Mandalorian, we know he's going to survive and show up or whatever.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that they're planting those seeds where you could possibly see him in the future.
Yeah.
Because Yoda was 700?
900.
900.
When 900 years old, you reach look as good. You will not.
What are you doing with your voice?
I miss Sean.
But yeah, Return of the Jedi, he's 900 years old. Mm. Nice. So, but anyway, talk a little bit about the what we're drinking here.
Oh, yeah.
We have had...
Macho Man.
Right now we're drinking...
Yeah.
Innocent Bystander Pinot Noir.
Man, that was fucked up. It's like, that was good stuff, though.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the last thing you drink? The red?
Yes.
What was the white?
And then we're drinking the Love and Tarot Petite Chablis.
Man, that was Chablis.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice.
A little French Chardonnay.
I hate whites.
It's part of an ebook that I'm doing, which is out currently. You can purchase this ebook at moviereviews.us.
Moviereviews.us.
Did you put my nude photos on that?
I did, but those are free.
Nice.
You don't have to pay for those. Also, and this book is also called Cinema Vino, Volume 1.
What?
Because it combines movies and wine.
Is my name in the ebook at all?
It is, but it's written in crayon.
Mm.
Also, you can get it on Amazon.com. It will be appearing tomorrow. So by the time this recording is live.
What about Prime?
Yes.
Because we only do Prime.
It's an ebook.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get a print version?
There is a paperback version that will be available on Amazon. So,
what?
Man, I'm kind of rocking a bone right now.
Mm-hmm. So Taylor is just chubbed out.
Yeah. I mean, Travis, fill this real quick, man.
Dr. Chubbenstein.
Fill this. Oh, your hand's short. That was actually a very true story. It was like
a chub o'clock. I mean, the body was willing, but the...
And then, yeah, you can listen, rate, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
Please. Like, guys, just listen to our shit. Because, like...
And there's... On Instagram, Tay Does Vino, because Tay does a whole bunch of stuff on there.
Yeah, okay. Oh, Travis,
and in a timely manner.
Yeah, I'm picking up your sarcasm. Travis, I'm sorry that I live my life to the fullest and I black out every weekend. Mm-hmm. Guys, let me put it this way. I will always love you and I will try to push everything we drink all the time.
Yeah.
But when Travis pressures me, it makes me upset.
Yeah. Travis is an overbearing parent.
Yeah, no shit, man.
He really is. He is the one who pushes you to go beyond your means.
The more upset Taylor becomes, like the more attractive I find him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is.
You guys have a real push-pull relationship.
The more he's like, Travis.
Oh, he's going to be pulling a lot of things later.
This is like a moonlighting situation where it's like you have Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd. And it's like, will they or won't they? And spoiler alert, they will.
I mean, here's the thing. I catfish Taylor on the daily, so when he starts mixing the sex and the violence, I like it.
So, it's been another episode of Cinema Vino.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. I miss Sean.
Mm-hmm. I miss anybody who can keep us like in line.
Yeah, I miss Daniel, too. Mm-hmm. Fuck a doodle-do.
That's, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the goddamn truth.
Crossing streams and rubbing sticks.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'm having such a good time.
Anyway, hopefully Sean and Daniel would make an appearance soon.
Yes.
Soon, yeah.
Hopefully we can get them involved.
Because the longer we do just this threesome, like the more intimate it gets, and I don't think that's good for our listeners.
Yes. Because it's going to be just a strip poker tournament where we're all going to be sitting here shirtless. And it's not promising.
I'm going to be wearing my E-Honda cosplay, and it's going to be...
I really thought you were going to say E-Harmony, but that's
fine. It's going to be around my ankles. Joanne is going to make you throw out this chair.
I believe a lot of that right now. I believe a lot of that.
I'm going to be eating Nothing Bundt Cakes, which are delicious confectionery delights from Nothing Bundt Cakes. I will be wearing a sumo wrestler's outfit. Around my ankles.
Yeah, good luck getting rid of that image.
MirrorReviews.us.
Yes. We love you guys, and we will see you soon, probably.
Take care of yourselves. and each other. I thought they were all benign.
They're all benign. Oh, goodness.